in about 10 minutes' time. Let's first touch base with Anne Bernstein at the Center for Development and Enterprise, where she is director. Bumped into you over the weekend, Anne Bernstein, and you told me it was going to be awful. Was it more awful than even you anticipated?
This was very bad. South Africa is really getting deeper and deeper into the hole. Tax revenue is less than expected. The savings they told us they were hoping for in February have not materialized. The growth projections are down, and our debt to GDP ratio is just heading inexorably in the wrong direction. So at least this was an honest speech and budget set of projections from the minister, but this is a very serious situation, and there is no plan yet on the table on how to stabilize the debt.
Is it realistic to have anticipated that there would be a plan by now? I mean, perhaps I'm getting more and more South African in my perspective on this, but we seem to lack urgency. We seem to lack we fail to understand that we're on a burning platform and we think we're about to take a sip from a bottle of nice cold water, but in fact, it's more petrol. Are we going to throw more petrol onto the fire? We don't seem to have any grasp of just how urgent our crisis is.
I agree with you, Bruce. I've been struck listening to senior government people recently as to this lack of urgency. Private sector leaders have been speaking out more of an urgent tone than I've ever heard before, but I'm not sure that's being heard in government. We have to act, and we have to act as quickly as possible. And it's almost like at least the honesty is starting to set a framework, but the leadership in the country has to get everyone ready for a very different change of direction and big changes. And then I haven't had time yet to read the new growth document from the minister, but we have to get growth going and we have to bite the bullet and make the changes that are required.
That new growth document, the new growth document you refer to was posted today. This is in response to the 800 or so responses that government has had to Tito Boweni's plan, 2 months ago, that he put onto the internet. So, that new growth plan is on the Treasury's website. We'll catch up again, Anne, once you've had a good chance to have a look at that. But, I mean, our debt servicing costs are passing the funding of key government departments. We've got 3 trillion rands worth of debt. I mean, it's an incomprehensible amount of money. And there is just no real urgency, as you put it, to cut back on costs. We put a voluntary severance package on the table. Only about 4,000 people out of 1.2 million civil servants and SOE employees have put up their hands to take that because they know they're in cushy jobs and won't get employed elsewhere. So why would you volunteer for something like that? And one gets the sense that, this is a ticking time bomb for South Africa unless the message gets through.
I agree with you. We're also sitting with all this money we're pouring into Eskom, the plans we're being told will take fruition, but there isn't a new CEO yet. We need a world-class CEO appointed, somebody who's given the freedom to do whatever is required to implement the changes that are absolutely, long overdue. But we don't have that yet, and it keeps being postponed. So who's going to implement all of these changes? The minister said today we have to start treating state-owned companies as businesses, and I couldn't agree more. And if you treat these companies as businesses, then some of them have to fail, and the market and private sector will pick up the services that citizens and firms need. But until that actually happens, all we've got is words and words.
And more words. Anne Bernstein from the Center for Development and Enterprise. Thank you. Professor Osman Moloji, the partner in tax services at PwC, listening to that. I mean, tax collection's way under budget, 50 billion rand or thereabouts, Osman. And it's not exactly a gap that's going to be closed anytime soon.
No, not at all. And I have to say it's a lot worse than we expected. We were projecting optimistically a shortfall of maybe 30 billion, so 52.5 is a less worse than we expected. It wasn't our worst case scenario. I do want to echo and confirm about the honesty. I don't think this is very, I don't think it's going to be worse than this. On that point of honesty, keep in mind that the minister's also taken the opportunity.
Osman, I wonder if I can get you to stand on a chair or something without hurting yourself, of course, but we just got a dreadful cell phone signal, and that's offensive to many people's ears, and you've got lots of useful things to say. So while Osman readjusts himself wherever he is, the PwC building in Midrand is very tall. I'm sure he could find a nice high spot to get a cell phone signal. But yeah, Mike is going in. Lots of swear words in Mike's SMS this evening. What is the ANC government waiting for? Every day of waiting is costing billions. Wringing hands and tinkering is useless. We need deep cuts in SOEs, in the cabinet, in parliament, in the provinces. What are they waiting for? Total collapse. Then short bursts of expletive. Not 1 cent of tax until radical action is taken. Mike, you'll go to jail for that, I'm afraid. Osman Mology, hopefully we can hear you better now. The tax situation, can it be improved easily, quickly and effectively, courtesy of an extra billion rand thrown Edward Kiesvetter's way?
So I don't think so. I do think part of this will be at Commissioner Kiesvetter's hand. And the reason I say that is structurally, I don't think there's much that we can do. We made the point about $52.5 billion down this year. The minister's already made the point that next year we're probably $85 billion down already.
Osman, no, we can't talk to you on that phone line. It's absolutely disgraceful. Cell phone companies let us down so badly on the show. I don't know if it's after six, everybody goes home and unplugs the cell phone mast. I don't know. Sorry, Osman Mology, you will have to catch up another time, perhaps on a landline if those things still exist. But the cell phone quality is diabolical. Dondo Mokgatjane is Director General in the National Treasury. Have you kitchen sinked this, DG? Have you thrown the very worst you can possibly thrown at us today? Because National Treasury is notorious for underestimating and under-budgeting and under-forecasting. Have you done your utmost to get this one accurate?
No, Bruce, it's not about under-forecasting or under-budgeting. We, based on the models that we do, that's what we have. But what is important is that I don't think we can say we've thrown all that we have. Oh, yes, as Treasury, but as a whole of the state, as a whole of government, including other stakeholders outside government, we can do more. Why am I saying that? If you look at the current numbers, we're saying in somewhere in the budget review, we're saying we have to exercise almost 150 billion rand worth of other measures to actually claw back on this spiraling debt that is going out of control, in order for us to remain within acceptable limits. So there's not, we can still do more. This is just the beginning, and I think it must be understood as such.
I mean, so many people are so frustrated by the endless list of government bailouts of SOEs, seeing the ballooning debt, the ratio to GDP being 20 percentage points higher than the February estimate, no signs of stabilizing. I mean, it doesn't even include Eskom's debt and taking on some of that. We're living on credit, and Tito Mboweni's warning that we're in a debt trap. Is this message going beyond the National Treasury? Is this message going into and being accepted by and being acted upon by your colleagues and other government departments?
Look, the other government departments understand that we are in a difficult situation and we have to get out. The colleagues in ESCOM and the colleagues in public Department of Public Enterprises also understand that. That's why, insofar as ESCOM is concerned, we are saying it cannot be business as usual. We cannot just take over debt and hope that ESCOM will be okay. We're saying differently this time around. We're saying ESCOM must focus on the efficiencies. ESCOM must work hard to turn the business around and how they actually do business. And ESCOM must function. And only when they can demonstrate, and the statement today says that, if ESCOM can demonstrate that they are going back, they are restructuring themselves, they are doing things differently, they are cutting costs, then we can look into how a debt relief option can be given to them of some kind, where we can come in as government, etc. But remember, most of ESCOM's debt is guaranteed by the state. So we have to call the shots. And that's why we are coming strongly now with stiff conditions that will ensure that Eskom begins to run, that Eskom management and Eskom board begins to run that entity like a proper real business that can actually turn itself around.
Now, listening to the chief executive of Business Leadership South Africa yesterday in Parliament, she was suggesting that the board is not able to run like a business, that the board is facing lots of government interference. Your comment?
Look, I mean, the Department of Public Enterprise can respond to that in a way that they do. But all we're saying in our book, we're saying we are requiring Eskom to appoint new board and new CEO, people with relevant skills that can take that place, taking the place around. And that applies, by the way, to all state-owned companies and not only Eskom. But with Eskom board, it's therefore important that we government or Department of Public Enterprise look at the skills base within the board, the skills base within the management, and appoint people with relevant skills that are able to take that, turn that place around.
We've got the Public Enterprise Minister, Pravin Gordhan, will join us on The Money Show tomorrow. We'll talk to him about that then. But, you know, Daniel Silk today saying both the summary of dismal economic indicators, the inability to flesh out prudent best practice solutions do indicate the political bottlenecks are still very much within the governing ANC. Would you agree with the fact that you are constrained, even as apolitical civil servants, by ANC political bottlenecks?
Look, I wouldn't say ANC political bottlenecks. All we were able to do was to lay bare in this budget and even in internal discussions within government, in an ANC-led government, to say these are the challenges, this is what we need to do to get out of the growth trap that we find ourselves in. And that's why we produced that paper, Bruce, in August. Today, again, at 3 o'clock, we released the second draft of the paper. We are definite in terms of what needs to be done and in terms of the suggestions that we put. We looked at 800 comments from South Africans, majority of which support us in terms of what we are putting on the table in August. Now, whether that is aligned is another thing, but the reality is that we have to then do things differently as a country. And if we have to be leading that as a treasury, as government, within government, we then have to do that. And this is despite the fact that we operate in a political environment. The reality is that there are certain fundamentals, whether we like it or not, that we have to do. And if it means the ANC taking tough decisions, the ANC government taking tough decisions on this, then that would be expected of them to do.
Are tax increases inevitable in next year's budget?
We did say today that, you know, this budget and the estimates, we are not ruling out any. I'm not talking about tax increases, tax measures. We will look into them. If need be, if things are not balancing, things are out of control, one cannot rule out tax measures that should be implemented, but that can only be announced in February as to which category, which tax, or which tax to reduce or increase. That is left to the Minister of Finance to announce in the February budget. We don't normally do that now. But we did say today that we have exercised options on the expenditure side, and we should be open to other options on the revenue side if measures are going to go out of control.
Are you confident, because I know that you guys liaise with the ratings agencies on a regular basis, are you confident that this medium-term budget policy statement does enough to keep our credit rating in place? We may see a downgrade to the outlook by Moody's on Friday night, but can we keep the investment grade rating?
Bruce, before talking to you, I was on a 45-minute call with Moody's. Before then, I was on a 45-minute call with Fitch. I'll be talking to S&P next week sometime. The reality is that we can only at this point explain ourselves. We can only respond to questions that they have. They are asking the same questions that you've just asked us around compensation budgets, around the debt, around the growth. All we can do is to explain what we're doing and explain our intentions that articulate in the budget policy statement. So we know that Moody's will be indicating, we're all waiting for Friday in terms of what they are going to say, waiting for Fitch tomorrow, they'll be saying something and respond, as just as an initial response to our budget. But I'm confident that we are able to explain ourselves, we are able to say there are certain things that we are doing wrong, and we have acknowledged that we have to do them right. And one is such that we have to take tough discussions around the spiraling out of control compensation budgets. Because if you're spending 46 rand out of every 100 rand that you get, then it tells on wages, it then tells you we have a problem. And so that's why the minister today was saying we should find ways of engaging with labor to negotiate how best to come up with a win-win situation for everyone, and so that we can save this country from the possible collapse from where our fiscals are at the moment.
Tondo Mohajane, thank you very much. Director General at the National Treasury, taking time out of a very busy day to chat to you this evening here on The Money Show.